Zayin on his base, 9 lines in the other page, 7b3, second column. Okay, the pasuk says, Shmei ben Achecha Meshvatetem, the judge has to hear between the people and judge. Amar Rav Chanina Azara Ledbezdin, this is a warning to Korsh, Liishma Divri Baldin, you shouldn't listen to one litigant, Kedim Shiavi Baldin Chavere, before the other litigant comes. You're not allowed to listen to one side before the next, because then you get an impression, and you're not going to be judging honestly. Vazara Lebaldin, and that's, first is to the Bezdin. Now is Azara Lebaldin, a warning to the litigant, Shliyatim Dvarav Ledayin, that he's not allowed to give his case to the Dayan, Kaidim Shiyavu Baldin Chavere. So in other words, it's forbidden for the court to hear one side without the next, and it's forbidden for the litigant to come and say his side of the story to the Bezdin before the next. Because it says, Shemeya Bein Achechem, it has to be between the brothers, you need to have everybody there. Rav Ganamer, at different sources, says, Leisisa, says you not accept a false report, Leisisa Shem Ashov, it says, Leisashi, you should not make a false report. And the false report is when one comes without the next. Okay. Then it says, Shvatetem Tzedek. Okay, you should judge them with righteousness. Amar Ishlokesh Rokshed, Tzedek is Hadin. Justify the din, and then Chatcheo, then render it. You know, this is an obligation on a judge to make sure that he's certain in his decision before he says what decision is. Whether it's between, these are all psukim that deal with the judges. Between his brother, says, even between base aliyah, bias la aliyah, even between a bottom floor and an upper floor. In other words, what does it mean, bein ishu bein achiv, between a man and a brother? Now, what litigation do you have between brothers? He says inheritance, right? Inheritance, they inherit the house, and one's upstairs, duplex. One's upstairs, one's downstairs. You need to judge even between such cases. Okay?
Is he meaning brothers, brothers, or just...
No, here he means actually brothers, because otherwise there's no inheritance. In other words, you can't just say one story you, one story you, because one story might be better than the next. You know, you have to take all that into consideration. Uvein gere, even between a stranger... Amr Rav Yudah says that even bein tanur lekerayim, even if there's a division between an oven and a double stove, meaning because gedai comes to the word ger, to live, mogur, your dwelling place. He says, even between gedai, meaning even in living necessities, ovens, so if there's a fight between a double oven, a single oven, whatever, you should deal with it properly. Okay, then it says, Leisakir upanim b'mishpat, you should not respect people in judgment. In other words, you should not say, this guy's rich, I have to honor him, and this guy's poor, I don't know, or vice versa. But I mean, you have to look at them as the mamish equal. Not one is more better than the next. What does it mean? Leisakirehu. Do not recognize one, like the Rashi explains, that you love him, and therefore you're going to make the case according to him, because him you like. Rabbi Lazar says, don't make him a stranger. In other words, you have two people, one you like, one you hate, yeah? So one opinion says you shouldn't give it to the guy you love. And the other opinion says, no, don't go against the guy you hate. Tanakereu, or whatever, whether it's a stranger, and so. Okay, then the Gemara says a story. Ushbizechinu drav osa, the host of Rav, I'm sorry, Ushbizechinu drav, the host of Rav, also the Kami Ledina, came before Rav for a Din Torah. Okay? So this guy hosted Rav, and then he came to Rav for a Din Torah. Amaleis, he said to Rav, Lavush Besachinat, aren't you my, weren't you my guest in my house? Amalei, Rav said, yeah, in, yes I was. Amalei, Dina Isli, I have a case, I want you to be the Rav. Amalei said, I've said to him, no, sorry. Pasina loch ledina. I am not kosher because I was a guest in your house. It's bribery. I'm not kosher to judge for you. So he says, Amalei l'rav l'rav kahana. So Rav said to Rav Kahana, you know what? Pugdaina. Okay, you judge. Rav Kahana was a student of Rav, but a very great student of Rav. So Rav said, I can't do it. He turns to student Rav Kahana, you judge him. So Rav Kahana saw that the person. So Rav was sitting there on the side, not judging it. So he saw the way the guy was like intimidating to Rav. Amalei Rav Kana said to him like this. Itzais Adina, Itzais, if you're going to listen to my ruling, good. Vilay, and if you're not going to listen, meaning you think you're too great, Mavkina Lach Rav Ma'unach, I will remove Rav from your strength by excommunicating you. Meaning the guy thought Rav's going to be on his side. Because Rav was sitting there. He thought, you know, and he's a student of Rav. Rav Kana was very tough. Rav Kana said to him, listen, if you're going to listen, fine. And if not, I'll excommunicate you and Rav won't be able to help you. Because in those days, you didn't listen to din, they excommunicated you. And excommunication from the B'nai Yisrael, no minion, no business, no nothing. If a person was excommunicated for not listening to a judge, today is called a siruf, but it's more than a siruf. Over there, they actually excommunicated you. You were completely out of the Jewish people. Nobody was allowed to do business with you. Nobody was allowed to talk to you. They couldn't count you for a minion. They couldn't give you an aliyah. Nothing. They were very powerful in those days. Then it says like this. The pasuk says, Kakotin kagodul tishmon. You should listen to a small case like a big case. So Gemara says, what does it mean a small case like a big case? Amar Ishlakish the Shakir said, this is a very interesting halacha. She'echov of alacha din shel pruta. That it should be as important to you. A case with one penny, kedin shel me'amana, like a din of $100. In other words, you shouldn't think, oh, it's only a penny, big deal. The case of a penny has to be as important to the judge as a case of $100. L'may hil chaser, like relevant to what? If you're telling that you have to look into it in Paskin Pshita. Of course. I mean, why should you think a din of $100 is more important than a din of a pruta? So he says, no, what it means lagdume, of what you give precedence to. In other words, somebody could think, listen, this case is $100, it's more important than the case of the penny. So you know, at first I'll do the $100 case, and then he says, no, first come, first serve. You can't give precedence in any, not only ruling. You can't even take the case earlier because you think it's more important. The Torah says, no, it's exactly the same thing.
There's no rounding off?
What do you mean rounding off?
I mean, there's a dispute on money. You know, he owes him 1,525, I don't know.
They don't round off anything. Yeah. No, they don't round off anything. If this is what you owe, this is what you owe.
From psychology point, they have favored one of them, you know, it's the other's hand, you know. When they look at the people, some of them, they like him, some of them don't like him.
So if they don't like him or they like him, they're not allowed to take the case.
Because it's affecting
They're not allowed to take the case.
If a family come to you, you're supposed to disqualify yourself, right? Because you know the family. Let's say your brother comes as a dispute with somebody else.
Of course you can. Family, for sure not. But even today, if let's say a family in the shul, yeah, me personally, let's say, we have a case against somebody else, I would disqualify myself.
You will?
Yeah, because if it's in my shul, I'm closer to than a person not.
How about if they agree? If two agree, they always.
If
okay.
Everybody agrees, then you're allowed to do it. Kiblo lai, the din is, if they accept it, it could be anybody, anything, anybody, it doesn't matter. But the judge has to tell him beforehand, listen, you know, I know this family, I'm close to this family. And if the guy says, I don't care, but then later he can't come along, what they usually do. What they usually do, they scream, ah, favoritism. I mean, you know, you told the guy beforehand, and you know, he shouldn't have taken you.
Rabbi, are you being capable of judging such a case? Like, subconsciously, I'm saying, you're going to... favor one side.
Okay, the guy hosted Rav once.
Yeah.
And Rav said, I'm sorry, I'm disqualified. The Gemara in Ksubis has a whole daf in Ksubis that the Gemara speaks about people that came. Shmuel once went on a boat. Okay, so you know, on a boat, you have to go from the land to the boat. So a guy gave him his hand to help him into the boat. And then the guy came to Shmuel for dinner. Shmuel said, I'm sorry, I'm disqualified. What did he do? He just helped him, you know, he helped an old man go onto a boat. Big deal. Shmuel said, I'm disqualified. Gemara says there's a story that one of the, I think it was Rav Kahana maybe, he had a sharecropper. It means it was his field. He owned the field. And you give it, it's called, in English it's called a sharecropper. In Hebrew it's called oris. Oris, if I own a field, I don't want to be bothered. I let you work the field and you get a percentage. Machzel, a shlish, a third, a half, a quarter, whatever you make up, yeah? It's my field. My produce, you run the field and you get half, let's say, yeah? So the story is told that normally the oris used to bring Rav Kahana his stuff Friday. One time he brought it Thursday. Rav Kahana's fruits, not somebody else's fruits. Yeah? The guy brought it Thursday. He said, why are you coming today? He said, because I have a dentito with somebody and the court used to Monday and Thursday. Yeah? So Rav Kahana said, I'm sorry, I can't sit. So Gemara says, it was his stuff. Not that you bribed me. It's my fruit you brought me. But you brought it a day earlier, he said, I'm disqualified. The Chum were very careful about that.
It's because of the effect it has on him. The raw has...
It's because it's bribery.
Okay. Is it because that he was so sensitive that he could see that it's going to affect him? Or if a raw says, you know, it doesn't affect him, he probably won't...
It doesn't matter. Sheikh, it affects you whether you know it or not. Yaveh eni
chachomim. So how could it... Is it both the prosecutor and defendant say, we'll accept you, Rabbi, even though you know this...
Because case. Once they accept, it's tough luck.
But you're for sure not going to be able to judge.
It doesn't matter. But if they accepted you and they know that, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Okay. By the way, the Mashoy asks him, he brings out the bottom. The Mashoy asks an interesting question over here. Why should I think a case of 100 has precedence to listen to first before a case of a 7? Well, why should I think that way?
It's a little money.
He says more. The Rabbanim, the Dayanim, didn't get paid a salary. They got paid what's called Schar Batola. Okay? In other words, they could have done something else, and they got paid for this, right? So a harder case takes longer to do. So they're going to get more schar batola. So the judge might think, you know what, listen, this pace is not worth, this story is not worth for me. I'm going to work on it in 10 minutes, how much are you going to get already? A dollar. This is going to take a few hours, they get $20, let's say whatever, in those days. So the din is, you're not allowed to do it anyway. Okay, then it says, you shouldn't be afraid of anybody. In other words, once a judge knows that the din is, they shouldn't be afraid to rule against a powerful person, he says, Kiamish Balalukimu. Amr Rabchana said, Al Tachnis Dvarachim Neish. Don't withhold your words because of a man. Okay, some Gemara delete this page. Okay. Then it says, Kiamish Balalukimu. Why should you not be afraid of anybody? Because judgment is in the presence of Hashem. So Hashem's on your side. Don't be afraid of anybody. Hashem said, Lai dayin shel shoyim. Not only is it bad enough for wicked. In other words, if a judge is wicked, yeah, he takes money shaloka halacha. Right? Because really, he judged wrongly because he's wicked, yeah? But you know, Hashem says, you know, what does it mean, Kemish Palalakimu? Hashem said, when a wicked judge does something, he says he gives God more work to do. Why does he give Hashem more work to do? Let's say, you and him, yeah? And I take out the $100 from you to give it to him. Now, what's wrong? Yeah? So not only did you rule corruptly, Hashem said, the money doesn't belong to you. It belongs to him. So I have to get it back from you to him somehow. So Hashem said, you're inconveniencing me. Because now I have another job to do. I have to get somehow the money back from him to you. That's okay. You're judging God. Because now Hashem has to do something that he didn't want to do before. So to speak.
You make more money.
Huh?
You make more money.
Hashem's.
No, he brings on the Gembarim also from the Mashah and interest. What do you mean Hashem has a problem doing things? But what it means is you have to maybe change the natural routine of things. And that Hashem doesn't like to change nature. Now it's going to have to change natural ways of things. But Dovah Sheyik Shemikam, and then Moshe Rabbeinu said like this, anything too difficult, come to me. And because of that, the Gemara is going to say, now Moshe Rabbeinu was punished, because he was haughty. He told the Jews, when he appointed the judges, he said, okay, you guys judge. Yeah. Anything which is hard for you, come to me.
I'm trying to help.
1 second. Moshe Rabbeinu was punished for this. Why? When Tzelofchad's daughters came, you know, they said, hey, our father died, there were no sons, what should we do? So Moshe Rabbeinu, well, we'll see, according to this opinion, forgot the halacha, and therefore he had to go ask Hashem. Why was Moshe Rabbeinu punished that he forgot the halacha? So the Gemara says, because Moshe Rabbeinu bragged, anything too hard for you, bring to me. So Hashem said, I'll show you, you also don't know.
I thought Moshe was asking Hashem anyway.
No, 1 second.
But that was not the case. He knew because they compliment Moshe and Moshe disqualified.
One second. We're going to see in the Gemara.
But it's good intention.
Maskev lo Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak. Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak said, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't haughty. Miksiv vashmi'eichem. Did he say, I will cause you to hear, meaning that, cause you to hear means, Moshe Rabbeinu said, I can answer any question. He didn't say that. He said, "Shmaitiv k'siv, I'll hear it. Igamin, if I know the halacha, yeah, and if not, I'll go learn the halacha." Meshe Rabbeinu, the question of the Gemara is of who this, Rabbi Yeshia. Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak. He said, Meshe Rabbeinu didn't say, I know every answer. Meshe Rabbeinu said, things which are too difficult for you, bring to me, I'll hear it. Which means, if I know the answer, I'll tell you, and if I don't know the answer, I'll go learn. So why is that bragging? Therefore, the Gemara says, "Elik de Tanya." It's a different thing. It wasn't because he bragged. Elik de Tanya, because it says like this: "Ro'u yepashus nachlish shetikosev v'demeshir abenu." The truth is, it was fitting that the parsha of inheritance should be written also through Meshir Abenu, like the rest of Tato. Elashazoch u'bnei selofchad, but the bnei selofchad merited v'nichtav al yodom. And it was written through them. In other words, nothing, not a punishment. The Gemara thought it was a punishment to Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? So the Gemara said, why did he punish? He got haughty. So the Gemara said, it wasn't haughty. So the Gemara says, no, it wasn't a punishment. Really, Moshe Rabbeinu should have been able to do that parsha too. But the Bnei Slavchad merited, they had a special schus that they merited that the didn't should go through them.
So wasn't Yisro's instructions to Moshe and Hashem agreed?
That was before. Yeah, not by Bnei Slavchad. Yeah, but the question, the Gemara says, but he pride himself. He says, okay, I'll make job. But if you don't know anything, come to me. And then the Gemara says also, we find another time in Chumash that the Moshe Rabbeinu also didn't know the halacha. By the Mekesha Sheitzim, you know, the guy chopped wood on Shabbos, and they, Rashi says, they knew what to, they knew he was supposed to die, but they didn't know what death. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So again, seemingly like Moshe Rabbeinu did know. So Gemara says there's also, which should be fit, they Moshe Rabbeinu. Al Shinas Chayiv, Mekeshish, and Mekeshish, Shaitim was guilty, and it was written through him. Meaning, Shemagalgal and Chayva, Aide Chayiv. Harm is imparted through one who is guilty. In other words, good things come through good people, and bad things come through bad people. Voschus Aide Zakai. So in other words, B'nai Tzalofcha that were good because they wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael, unlike the man that said, we don't want to go into Eretz Yisrael after the Meraglim. So they merited that a good parsha should be written through them. The Mekesha Sheitim who sinned, he merited that a bad parsha was written through him. By the way, it's still a parsha in Torah. It's still plenty.
The entire parsha because of that? Or just be talking about the section of it that is talking about the
whole thing, the whole story,
the story itself, not the rest of the parsha.
But that l'chayda, how did he merit? It's something bad, but still, it's a parsha in Torah. I mean, it's still a great thing. So the other, and the Medrash says that Mekesha Sheitzim didn't. He meant it l'shem Shemayim.
And everybody else to learn.
He wanted to show everybody else that Torah meant business.
Korach and Balak and all that.
Yeah, well, they didn't learn the lesson. But Mekesha Sheitim, it says, it was Tzelofchad, by the way, according to one opinion. Yeah.
the father.
And he was a holy man, Salavchad. So why did he do it? He wanted to do it to show the Jewish nation that when Hashem says Chilul Shabbos, you're going to get stoning, you're going to get stoning. Based on that, Melach Sheni Tzricha L'Gufa, so he asked, why is he chayiv? It's all gone to Maisa. Okay.
Rabbi, what about the story also of Pinchas? Moshe forgot the halacha there too. Is that also from this reason?
Rashi says over there, why did it happen? That Pinchas should have the schus, that it should be written to you. But there was another case. By Geuli Midyon, when Moshe Rabbeinu, they came back from Midyon with all the women and the Kalim and everything, and Moshe Rabbeinu forgot the halacha of Kashu and Kalim, and Elazar had to say, right, in Parshas Matis. Yeah, the story when they came back from Midian and they came back to women and Moshe Rabbeinu was screaming at them and said, "Vayikseif Meishap Kudei Achoyil." Moshe Rabbeinu got angry. So Rashi says because he got angry, anger made him forget the halacha. But over there is Taka, the Gemara speaks negativity about Moshe because he got angry. He forgot the halacha. But all these other things the Gemara says wasn't because he didn't know the halacha; it was really fit. That it should go through Moshe Rabbeinu, but they merited it should go through them.
Well, after the death of Aaron's two sons, when it comes to Korban,
he didn't forget.
He says, "Why didn't you?"
No, I know, but over there was an argument in halacha between Moshe and Aaron. Aaron happened to be right, but it wasn't that he forgot the halacha. There's actually an argument in halacha. What was going on? Okay, then it says in the pasuk, "Vatzava sheftechem beisehi." I'm going to command your judges in that time. And it says, I will command you. Okay? One pasuk says, but the first pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm commanding the judges. Second pasuk says, I'm commanding the people. So what does that mean? So he says like this, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Simlai, Hazar Litzibur, Shetehem is dying alay. Moshe Rabbeinu is commanding the judges and the people. Because the Chayru, why is he commanding the people? He should be commanding the judges only. And one pasuk says, I'm commanding the judges. One pasuk says, I'm commanding the people. See, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Simlai says very simple. That he's warning the tzibur that they should fear the judge. Vazar and Ladayan, he's warning the judges. Sheyizbal and Sasibur should tolerate the community. Okay? In other words, in a din Torah, the pasuk is speaking to two people. The people need to respect the judges, and the judges need to tolerate the people. Amar Rav Chanan ad kama. To what extent should the judge tolerate the community? Amar Rav Chanan v'yisem Rav Shasoi, kashe yitzayim, like a nursing father carries the baby. Meaning, to no end. Unlimited. Unconditional love and tolerance.
The father?
Yeah.
Why father?
He's speaking about Moshe Rabbeinu. He means usually the mother. Yeah. But here he's speaking about Moshe Rabbeinu. There's a story in the Gemara. I don't remember where the story is, but the Gemara says a story. There's a guy that lost his wife with nursing babies. Though they didn't have formula. You can, his wife died, and so he said to God, what do you want me to do? So the Gemara says that Hashem made a miracle. He grew breasts and he fed his babies. That's what the Gemara says. No, really, that's what the...
We better not let this thing get out. Get.
Okay, then it says in another pasuk. It says, when Hashem said to Yeshua, Ki ato tovay, a lot of these Gemaras here are Rashi's and Chumash, by the way, including this one. It says, Kiyatu Tovei, you will go with the people. Kiyatu Tovei in Hebrew means, you will go with the people to Eretz Yisrael. And another of the pasuk says, Kiyatu Tovei, you're going to bring the people. That means one pasuk says, you're sure you're like everybody else. And the next pasuk says, you're a leader. Which one are you? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Lei Meishali Yeshua. Atav askenim shebedari moim. You with the elders are going to be taking him in. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu said to Yeshua. Ki ato tovei, you're going to come, you and the elders together. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu said to Yeshua. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Hashem said to Yeshua, no. Tel mako v'achal kot kodom. take a stick and hit it on the elders' heads. Meaning, Daber Echod Ladur, Ve'en Shnei Daborim Ladur. There's one leader per generation, not two. In other words, one pasuk, the Gemara says like this. The first pasuk, Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to Yeshua. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Yeshua, listen, you're going to have the elders with you, you're going to do it together. Hashem said, no. Ki ata tovi yasa amezer. You're going to take a, Rashi brings this down to Chumash better. Take a stick, hit the elders over the head. There's one leader per generation. There's only one Moshe, Chassidish. One leader, there's one Moshe Rabbeinu in the generation. Not the, their elders, they're great. There's Aaron, there's Canaan, the holy people. There's one Moshe Rabbeinu, one Yeshua per generation. Okay, then he says, Tana, there's a braise that says, Gemara's going to discuss what this means. It sounds strange coming in the Gemara over here, but anyway, it says, Zimun Bishlesha. To do a Zimun simply means Mezumin, you know, by say, Mevalm Benshin. You need three. So Gemara says, 1 minute. What does Zimun mean? Birchas Zimun, the bracha by benching? Hatanya says in a braise, Zimun, a Birchas Zimun Bishlesha. It says already in a braise that it's three people. So what's it repeating? And if you're telling me that one braise is explaining the next, that my zimun bircha zimun, the zimun means the bracha of zimun, but we learned in a different braise, zimun bishleisha, and bircha zimun bishleisha. Right? So it says clearly that zimun, the braise in the whatever, is three. So obviously that's not what zimun means. So Gemara says, you're right, it's not about benching, it's about judges. Elamai Zimun, what is Zimun? Meaning Hazman al-Adin is, there's a concept called summons to Bezdin, right? It's called in Hebrew Hazmana, which is Zimun. So Gemara says, in order to do Hazman al-Adin, you need three Dayanim to do it.
It's a Hazmone.
Huh?
Hazmone or Hazmana?
Hazmana.
It should be the Aleph here.
Where's an Aleph?
Azmone.
Huh? Yeah, in Aramaic, that's why. In Aramaic, Aleph and Ayah. Yeah, but in Hebrew it's called Azmone. Kihad Amirava, Hani Beit Losa, the Dayani, the Yasva, three judges that are sitting in judgment. Okay, and they want to summon somebody to Bezdin, but also Shlich of the Beit Dina. And he gets Shlich Bezdin goes. Va'amir Mipuma Dechad. And he makes it, he repeats it in the name of one of the three dayanim, layomer klum. It's worthless. In other words, let's say three dayanim, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi are sitting as dayanim. They want to call Yankel to the Tera, so they send a shliach, they don't go themselves, they send the shliach of Bezdin to go. And the shliach of Bezdin goes to Yankel, and he says, Reuven is summoning you to the Tera. So he must say it's worthless. He doesn't have to come. He has to do it in the name of three. It has to do with the name of three. Ad amar mishmei dekula. Okay? In other words, otherwise you can't excommunicate the guy for not listening. Like this again, if you send the guy Azmana three times and he doesn't come to Bezdin, nowadays they do it a little bit. Sometimes it depends which Bezdin, where, who the guy is. But in the time of the Gemara, they summons you three times to Bezdin, you didn't show up, excommunicated.
So what is the Beit Din has to do the Azmana?
Yeah, the Bezdin has to do that's money, but the Shliach Bezdin, the Shliach Bezdin, that's going to the litigant to say you have Azmana, can't say it in the name of one judge, he has to say it in the name of all three.
Do they still excommunicate now, not just for this reason, but for other reasons they excommunicate?
They do rarely, some Bati Dinim do it, but the problem is, I'll tell you what the problem is, people don't respect it, okay? Let's say a Bezdin will excommunicate somebody, right?
Yeah.
All his friends are not going to accept it. They're still going to talk to him and still do it, right? It becomes political. So what happens? People end up not listening to the ban, and Bezdin looks like fools. Because they don't have the power today. Today is such a diverse community, right? That if this rabbi is going to ban somebody, the next rabbi will say no, because he gives him a few bucks. He's going to say, oh, you forget it, you know?
Like, for example, in Israel, the Neturi Karza was excommunicated or something like that? Or they said you can't have a party union?
I don't know if they... I don't think they did it, because it doesn't make sense, because they're too powerful, so they'll laugh at it. So Bezin has to know is what's called Zilusa de Beidina. The Gemara says you have to reckon a lot for the respect of Bezdin. Because if not, then Bezdin becomes one big joke. So you don't do things that's going to spit you backfire in your face, in other words. So if you do it, if you know you could do it, and there's a lot of issues in New York. Ever read, I don't read the Jewish press, but I think in the Jewish press, they have, like, say, every week they have people that were put into Hasmana, Chayram, all that stuff, yeah?
Yeah.
For not giving a get, not for this, not for that. You know, all those cases, yeah? It's a joke.
Are we allowed to talk to those people that they list? Or do I mean, I don't even read it. Do I have a responsibility to read it to find out who I'm not allowed to talk to and then not talk to those people?
It's not so simple. It's not so simple.
They cannot sue them?
Depends if it's a different city, if you're bound by that bezin, if you're not bound by that bezin. It's not so simple.
So,
I had a case connected to LA. A guy was put into Chedim here in LA, banned for not giving a get. Okay? And the guy moved to Vegas. And he was davening in a shul there. Okay? So people came to the Rav at that shul and said, the guy's in Chedim. Why are you letting him into your shul? Why are you letting him, you know, be part of the minyan or whatever? So he asked the sheriff, is he bound by the bezin of a different city? So it was a political issue for me, so I didn't want to get involved. I sent him off to a different rov in a different city, because I was negabed over here and there, whatever. I couldn't, it was that bad for me to rule it, because I would have been damned either way, you know? So the rov said, no, you're not bound by that other bezin in LA. It's a different city, you're not bound by that bezin.
So how did they manage it in those days?
In those days, it was one shtetl.
It wasn't a hard die, and there's...
Yeah, but there's a whole question in the Gemara, in Shulchan Aruch, is a ban in Nardai good for Surah, or, you know, am I mukhif to listen? I'm not mukhif to listen to that bezin. Ban in the... Maybe my bezin disagrees.
You went to the city of refuge.
The three judge, besides the three judges, the Tohen has to be mentioned also, who the Tohen is?
They do mention. Who's calling? You have to know who's calling me.
Well, I don't know, just the Beitin calls you, and I say, okay, I'm going to go down to find out what it is. But so they mention.
See, the problem in today's world, there's such diversity of communities, and in one community, in the big communities, L.A., you have 1,000 different communities, right? So, and each community just says, I don't have to respect. What do you say? I'll give you another example. Let's say they want to make a fast day. Okay? And the rov of a certain community in LA, let's say on the other side of town, right, decides they want to make a fast day. Right? The rabbanim and Pico are not mechuyev to go by that fast. His community, that rov's community, must fast. Because they're part of the community. But it doesn't give me a pico, it's not mechuyev to listen because he decided to make a fast. If they agree with it, fine. But if they don't agree with it, they're not mechuyev to fast because he decided to make a fast on La Brea.
Even if he's been in La Brea area, but there's, you know...
100 communities in La Brea. Yeah. So, Enochanam, you're right. Enochanam, that's what I'm saying. I just mentioned it, it's clearer. Yeah, if a certain shul on this street makes a fast, right, that doesn't mean... the Chabad community is mechuyev to listen. If a Chabad community makes a fast, then the other people are not mechuyev to listen to it. They could, but I'm saying they're not obligated because it's not their bezin. That's the problem with the very big cities. There's no, in a small shtetl, there was one rav. You know, in the small shtetl, there was one rav and one there, and so everybody was mechuyev to listen to that rav, regardless.
So when the Rabbanim did, let's say, in New York, they say, one should not listen, use the internet. So, anybody can do whatever they want to do, they don't have to listen.
They're not bound, but they're bound by their community, by their love. Why is it?
No, because, you know,
if somebody lives there and he uses you as a rav, and he lives in La Brea, and you're his rav.
No, so if. Then the question is, if he's part of that community, he might have to fast anyway, let's say.
No, there was a whole thing a couple of years ago that the Rabbanim or Litvish Rabbanim, they got together and say nobody looks at the internet.
And then they go daven Maariv with their iPhones off from the internet.
I'm talking about...
You know what type of joke there was at that convention that the... In Shea State, where was it? The internet convention.
Yes.
That was such a joke. They're screaming no internet and everybody's davening Maariv. After they all take out the cell phones, the iPhones, and all davening Mincha, no? What type of joke is that?
Okay, so that's what... It's the same thing, so it doesn't have an effect because...
Then the Gemara, the Mishnah said like this, Tashlumi Keifo, you know, payments of Keifo for God of steals, he has to pay double. The Mishnah said you need three people to sit on the din. Shalach Rav Nachman, Rav Chista, Rav Nachman, Yaakov, Rav Nachman, Rav Chista. Sent a note to Rav Nachman, Yaakov, Yilamdeinu, Rabbeinu, Dine Knosses Bekama. When it comes to Knas, there's, Mammon is very important for a lot of Sanhedrin. There's what's called Knas, and there's what's called Mammon. Mammon is monetary judgment. Knas is more punitive damages, meaning like this. If I break your window and it's $100, that's not a fine. That's monetary judgment. Anything that has a set amount is called knas. For instance, a ganav pays double. That double is set. That's not a monetary damage. I stole $100. Just that I have to pay back $200. It's not a monetary. The $100 is monetary. But the kefo is what's called knas. Okay? The pasuk says if a shor kills an eved, you pay 30 shekel. The pasuk of Mishpatim. You pay 30 shekel. Whether the eved is worth $1,000 or $2 or whatever, you pay 30 shekel. Okay? That's a knas. Okay? Now, as a rule, in order to pask in knas, you have to be musmochim in Eretz Yisrael. Yet that smicha ish mi pi ish, not today smicha. Like we're not smicha ish mi pi ish, v'meishe rabbeinu, and you have to be in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? In fact, this is Gemara in Bavakama that says, Rav Chista collected a knas in Bavo, and Rav Nachman sent him a letter, Chista, knasa kamagvis b'Bavo, you're collecting fines in Bavo, you're not allowed to collect, what are you collecting fines in Bavo? So the Gemara over here asks a shayla. Rav Nachman by Rav Chista asked Rav Nachman by Yaakov. How many people in the Beis Din do you need to do a knas? So the Gemara says, "Baikumi barle anantam bishleisha." Our Mishnah says that in case of the penalty kefil, which is a knas, you need three people. So what's the shayla? It's a Mishnah that you need three people. So he says, "Al yochin mumcha kibayim barle." I'm asking a different shayla. Can a yachid mumcha, remember we learned also before in the Gemara, there's three judges, which are regular yukuls. Then you have yachid mumcha, means an expertise, a real expert judge. So he says, can an expert judge do knas as an individual? Amalei, so he answered him back, Tanisil, we learned it. Tashlumei keifa, the payment of double. Or tashlumei abar v'chamisha, it says, you know, if you steal an ox and you sell it or shecht it, then you have to pay 4 or 5 times the amount. So it says, Bishleisha, you need three people to do it. Right? Basically, the Mishnah is saying, Knas, you need three people. So Gemara says, Mishleisha, what do you mean three judges? Ile Mishleisha Adyaitis, if you're talking about three regular people, Ho'ama Vodavuch, the father of your father, meaning your grandfather, said, Afilo Asara Vehein Adyaitis, Psulim Ladine Knosis. Your grandfather said, who is his grandfather? Whatever. He says, your grandfather said that by Knas, even 10 hedjaitis is not good enough. So when it says 3, what does it mean? 3 experts. So you see that 1 expert is not enough for Knas. You need 3 experts. V'atanya elumumchim v'ka'am ashleisha. So this proves that even a yochid mumcha, even an individual who's an expert, is not able to judge knas. So if it's a din of kefil or dalet vehei or any of those types of things, you need 3 mumchim to do it. 3 regular Jews are not able. You need 3 mumchim musmachim ish mipi ish from Meishe Rabbeinu. Today there's no knas, no. There were other knosses that, again, Rabbanim and Shtetlach used to give. There's even the Alter Rav in Kfar Chabad. If people did things wrong, he would fine the money. Not as din knas of Teira. Knas is if you did, it would, for not listening, he would give you a fine.
How did they enforce it?
Yeah, how do you?
He was powerful. It was a Kfar Chabad, it was a shtetl, you know what I mean? That was when it was small yet, now it's big.
Who did it?
The Alter Rav in Kfar Chabad, Rav Gerelik. They called him Rav Shneir, they called him. The guy got drunk and he didn't like it. He gave, made him pay money.
Where was this in Eretz Yisrael?
In Kfar Chabad. Eretz Yisrael.
I've heard of it.
The capital of Eretz Yisrael is Kfar Chabad. You didn't know that?
Where is that?
Next to the airport. Next to Lud.
Tel Aviv?
By the airport, right outside the airport, Kfar Chabad.
So even though like it's not illegal to get drunk, but you didn't like
it? Whatever. A Rav has that koyach to do. If you can enforce it, otherwise you don't do it. But din knas, the Gemara is talking about what the Torah talks about, kefil, dalid vehei, or eved, and those things, it's a knas.
Is knas, what is the other one?
Mammon.
No.
What?
No. Okay.
Okay.